Good evening, everyone. We're broadcasting live March 31st. So today's quote from the Anguttara Nikaya. Pabassarang idang bhikkave cittang. Luminous or radiant is this mind. Tanchukoho agantukehi upakilesehi upakiriptang. It is defiled by visiting defilements or incoming defilements that come from without. It's a good explanation. Agantuka is that which comes. Agantuka is often used to talk about a guest. Monks are called agantuka when they come. Agantuka. Agantu. Not quite sure actually. Tang asutava putujano yathabhutang napajanati. We have this phrase asutava putujano yathabhutujano. Asutava putujano. A uninstructed worldling. It's a phrase that the Buddha uses often to talk about those who have never looked at their minds or never thought about spiritual teachings, about maybe not even spiritual teachings so much as those who have never thought about the things that the Buddha taught, who have never looked at their own minds or learned anything, who spend their time involved with worldly affairs. So, asuttava, someone who has not heard the truth. Putujano, one who is full of defilements. And yatha bhutang na pajanati, they don't understand this as it is. So people think that the mind is or that their person is static. We think of our characteristics, our character types, as fixed. So people say, I'm an angry person, or I get angry at this, or someone told me just today, really nice person, but she said, I get ticked off at people's crap, or something like that. It was in the context of a larger statement, but she mentioned that in passing, that she can get frustrated at people. And we say things like this is how we talk, this is how we think. We think of ourselves as having a certain character type. So we think of the mind as being inherently idiosyncratic. Buddha said no. No, the mind is luminous. The mind is pure, basically. And funny enough, there are groups that misinterpret this text to mean that the mind is like a glowing ball. The Dhammakaya movement in Thailand, I heard the vice abbot, I sat with him for 5 hours while he explained to a small group of us about what this passage means, and it's that the mind is a bright light, which is coincidentally the meditation object that they use. They imagine a bright light, a crystal. They say the mind is luminous, so they take it to be a physical light that you can see. That's not what that's meant here, because it's related to kilesa, upakilesa, defilements. So that's the first, this is the ekakanipata. So each sutra, you could say, is just a couple of sentences. So that first part is the first sutta. It says Pattamang, the first. This is the first sutta, just that part. And then the second sutta is just a inversion of it, where he says Suttavatto arya savakasa citta bhavana ati vadami. Oh wait, sorry, I didn't finish the first one. So an uninstructed ordinary worldling doesn't understand this as it is. Tasma asuttavatto putujanasa citta bhavana nati. Therefore, for a uninstructed worldling, citta bhavana nati, there is no cultivation of the mind. They do not cultivate their minds. That's not a literal translation. Literal translation is there is no, and it's in quotes. Therefore, I say vadami, tasma vadami, therefore I say asuttavato, for an uninstructed putu janasa worldling, citta bhavana, the training of the mind, natti, doesn't exist. You all know what the word natti means, right? Natti is a famous, there's a story behind the word, right? Natti citta bhavana, there is no citta bhavana, there is no bhavana for the citta. And then the second one's the inversion. So, suttang suttava arya savako yatha bhutang pajanati. That a instructed student of the enlightened ones understands it as it is, yatha bhutang pajanati. Tasma, therefore, or so, from that, literally, suttavatto arya savakasa citta bhavana ati, for a instructed student of the enlightened ones, there is ati, there is citta bhavana, the cultivation of the mind or the development of the mind, mental development, citta bhavana. That's said, and then it says dutiyang, which means it's the second. And then it goes on, there's 10 in this vagga. So the Anguttara Nikaya is sorted according to, sorted by vaggas, which are like chapters, sort of. But they don't, they're usually chapters are, well, sometimes they're sorted by subject. Sometimes they're just packed in there. Here, the third one is about metta citta, the mind of metta citta, acchara sangha tamattampi. I don't know. Anyway, it's been a long day. I had an exam this morning on peace, which is always a good thing to be tested on. But it was actually kind of disappointing, the questions on it were surprising. Questions were about, well, I guess it was just kind of strange. It wasn't the things that I'd studied. We were asked for meetings that had led up to UN Resolution 70/1. Like, well, I don't, you know, I wasn't paying attention to the names of the meetings and summits, which I guess I'm a little bit out of my element there, because I'm not really interested in worldly affairs. I'm more interested in the content than the, you know, stuff that's going on, which is a fault of mine. I mean, I can never really be a peace worker in the sense that they want me to be. They want us to be worldly peace workers, I think. Getting involved with governments and doing our civic duty, I guess, and getting involved. Unfortunately, I'm not a citizen. I'm, you know, out of society. So, and then we had to write an essay about, we had one of three topics, and we're talking about the happiness. Which one did I talk about? Bizarre. Yeah, no, I think I'm just wondering if I wrote about the wrong topic. I wrote about UN Resolution 70/1, Sustainable Development Report, just because it was easy. But I started thinking, this resolution doesn't really hit at the root of the problem, which is this quote, The root of the problem is our minds are defiled. So there's no call for meditation. How do we solve the world's problems? Meditation wasn't on the list. So it was missing something. And then I just finished my essay. Why am I talking about this? Because I wanted to talk about my essay. So I did this essay. And I think it's somewhat interesting. It's a little too academic for my tastes. Meaning, like, I always find when I write for school, it's a little bit artificial. Like, you kind of have to make it fit with the course, and, well, they're not doing any courses on meditation, so I suppose I somehow play into their hands a little too much. I could probably have found a way to do an essay on meditation, but, it's East Asian Buddhism. I was interested in the Lotus Sutra, so I'm interested in making clear what is the Dharma and what isn't the Dharma, and that you can't just get away with putting words in the Buddha's mouth. I mean, I was really kind of disgusted by the Lotus Sutra for what it blatantly appears to do to the Buddha and to Sariputra and to the Dhamma in general, how it just throws out the 45 years of the Buddha's teaching and just makes bizarre claims. I mean, of course, there were lots of texts like this, but the Lotus Sutra became famous, and so I'm looking at why it became famous. Why I'm talking about this, because I thought maybe somebody out there would like to read it, and hopefully look at it for me and find typos and stuff. So goodness, but I don't want to put it like out on the internet, especially not while it's not finished, and because it would just mean getting too many people writing comments on it. I've done that before, and boy, did I get lots and lots of comments that I had to just discard. But so I'm posting it here on the site if you want to go read it. It's fairly academic, I think, so hopefully it's not a turn off, but I can write. My writing's good. I know my writing's good. So, I'm interested if there's anyone out there who would go ahead and read through it and at least give me some feedback for grammar. We're supposed to do this before we hand our work in, find someone who will read it. So, I got all you guys to read it. So anyway, I post a link in case there's someone out there who has the time to go through it. That's about it. Not much. So I just finished that paper tonight. It's not a long paper. In fact, if it seems terse and it's like, wow, why did you write so little? And just, it felt like I was skipping from point to point. It's because we had a word limit of 2,000 words. And the papers that I came out with was 2,200. And that's being excruciatingly parsimonious. So I could have written four times as much, probably at least twice as much would have been pretty easy. Would have been more comfortable writing twice as much, but it would have been more work. So I'm kind of thankful that it was only short. And he really likes, this professor is really big on concision. Because I guess a lot of people will just end up with word salad, and they just, he said they write an introduction that's totally unrelated to their paper, and they just blather on about this and that. So making it so short forces you to be on track, because you have to get through your whole argument. So anyway, you don't want to hear this. This is not related. But tonight's verse, getting back to the verse, was awesome. It's an awesome little verse and very much related to our meditation practice. We practice to not change the mind in the terms of cultivating a new I, a new me that's Buddhist, but in terms of just coming back to a natural state. It's very important in Buddhism, in meditation, that we're just trying to sort everything out, untie all the knots, which is a bigger task than it may sound. I mean, it's not like you're just going to go back to the ordinary person you were before, or you generally are. It is a profound change, but it's only a profound change because really everything that makes us human is an artifice. So the whole being a human is not natural. And we get back into this idea of what's natural, but it's not natural in the sense that we've made it, we've cultivated it. We've cultivated it arbitrarily. There's nothing particularly, it's not like you look at the universe and say, oh, that needs humans. No. The perfect representation of the universe, a being in the universe, a human being. No, I mean, that's what Christianity, Judaism, theistic religions tried to do. They said, well, why are humans here? Well, we must be the perfect, you know, somehow they got to that. It's not true. Anyone who believes that is grossly deluding themselves. So, but there is something luminous and pure in us all, underneath all that garbage, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done. Even Devadatta, in the end, got on the right track. Anyway, that's all for tonight. We'll take a rest. Tomorrow I'm going to spend some of the day going over any comments that people have on my paper, if anyone does look at it, and going over it, and then I got to submit it before the end of tomorrow. So, and then I'm done. I've got a couple exams, but... Oh, and the symposium next week is the Peace Symposium. So yeah, this weekend I'm going to be spending on organizing the symposium. Okay, that's all. Have a good night. Have a good night. No questions tonight. Not that anyone ever has them, but if you happen to have questions, come back tomorrow. Good night.